Okay, today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Kuf Chaf Dalad. Kuf Chaf Hey. I'm sorry, Kuf Chaf Hey. We are in Kuf Chaf Dalad on a Beis. We are a couple of lines up from the bottom. We will start with Tani Chada. Tani Chada, the Mishnah we got into yesterday on Kuf Chaf Dalad on a Beis spoke about issues of Kalim and broken pieces of Kalim. When they broke, did they break before Shabbos? Did they break on Shabbos? And the Gemara first had said that if they break on Shabbos, that's better. That's better for Hilchos Shabbos, meaning it's more mutter. Since when Shabbos started, they were already mutter, muchanin al gabe avihen, kind of like, as we said, an opposite of migu de iskatsoi concept we had back in the third parak. Principle of Mikud is Katsai Ben Hashmashas. If something is Muksa when Shabbos starts, it remains Muksa the entire Shabbos. So this is some kind of the opposite. If something is Mutter when Shabbos starts, it's Mutter the entire Shabbos. It's Mutter Al Gabi Avihen. That's what we thought originally. But then we brought the Brisa from elsewhere, which we discussed also in earlier on Daf Chavtes, the Brisa that spoke about on Yontif using Kalim and not using Shivri Kalim. And the Shaila is, when is that talking about? When did it break there? So we ended up saying that there, it has to be talking about a case where it broke on, we said if it breaks on Erev Shabbos, then it doesn't work, because why would there be any limits? It's just Eitzim Ba'alma. So we ended up saying it must be that it broke on Shabbos, and that's why we rethought our explanation of the Mishnah. The Machlokas must be only where it broke on Shabbos. But if it broke before Shabbos, then for sure it is Mutter. Good. So with that background, if you want to look in the Ritva goes through every stage of the Shakla Vataria. What did the Gemara think in the Havamina? What did the Gemara think in the Maskana? Feel free to look at that Ritva. But we continue first now. Says the Gemara, Tzatani Chada, we have one Brisa that says, Masikin v'kelim, v'in masikin v'shivrei kelim. One Brisa says that you're allowed to heat on Shabbos, on Yontif. On Yontif, when we're allowed to make fire. So, what are you allowed to use for fuel on Yontif? So the first Brisa says, you could use kelim, but you can't use shivrei kelim. Those would be muksa, off limits. V'tanya idach. And another brisa says, kishem shemasikin v'kelim, kach masikin v'shivrei kelim. Second brisa says, no, you could use whatever you want, even shivrei kelim. V'tanya idach. And the third brisa says, ein masikin lo b'kelim v'lo b'shivrei kelim. And the third brisa says, you can't use either. Says the Gemara, what is the, how do you put these three together? So it's a three-way machlokas tanoim. Ha-Reb Yehuda, Ha-Reb Shimon, Ha-Reb Nechemya. Reb Nechemya is the most machmir. Remember we had Reb Nechemya yesterday in the Mishnah. Ein klinital ela l'sarach tashmisha, what it is usually used for. And therefore, kalim are not usually used for firewood, even if it's a wooden kli, even if it's a broken wooden kli. So says Reb Nechemya, you can't use that for fuel. Rabbi Yehuda holds of the concept of muksa, but if something is roy beforehand, then it's okay. That's why he would say kalim are okay, but shivrei kalim are not. While Rabbi Shimon would say both are okay, because he does not hold a muksa, he does not hold a nolad. Reb Shimon, as we mentioned, holds of the least forms of muksa. Not no forms of muksa, but the least forms of muksa. We had earlier, Moder Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon admits, if your maksa is something biyadayim, if you totally designate it not to be used, that also he would agree that it is muksa. Good. So Amar Reb Nachman continuing. Hani livni de ishtayir mi binyana. Shari latil tulinhu. If you have bricks that are left over from construction, are you allowed to move them or not if they're just sitting on the side? Yes, Sharila Tutulinu, the Chazilim is Galayo. We could use these bricks in order to sit on. So they have a function. If they have a function, then it is mutter. It's not called muksa off limits. Sharginu, but if they are stacked in a certain way, which is clear that the builder is going to use them in the future, so then vade aksinu, then for sure it is muksa, it is designated not for Shabbos, and therefore one is not allowed to move them. Why is that? Because the Ritva here says, because it is muksa machmas chesra and kiss. Right, the type of bricks that the builder would not want you to sit on. Vadai, says the Ritva, v'lav de lisrinhu midin de kaimi lebinyin uketamarim maskinon, de kaim lakrib shimit, de leslu muksa. It's not just tamarim that are getting putrid on top of the roof like we had earlier in the Masechta. El taima shenifgamos bimat vinifsados. If they're used, then they depreciate. V'havile kamuksa machmas chesron kiss. That is the Ritva. You don't want to use them for any other purpose, and therefore they are muksa. What about just sitting on them? What about sitting on them without moving them? Here we're talking bricks. Bricks are pretty heavy. So we discussed that in the Daf Be'in Shir last night. relating to the two issues. Number one, once I have muksa in my hand, do I have to put it down right away or can I keep moving it? But the second half of the shir, we discussed the shita of the Trumas Hadeshen. The Trumas Hadeshen is machalik, a little bit against the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch seems to say, says Beferish, that one is allowed to touch muksa. There's no isra of touching muksa. You can touch muksa, no problem. The problem is, there's a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi seems to say that you're not allowed to touch muksa. The Yerushalmi says, if I'm taking a bowl and I'm putting it over an egg that is muksa, because it was laid on Shabbos or Yantif, the Yerushalmi says, make sure it doesn't touch the egg. Make sure it doesn't touch the egg. So is that just like the Magen Mishnah says, oh, because you're worried it might move? Or is there something more fundamental there? The Trumas Hadeshen assumes that even if it's not going to move, the issue is, are you touching the muksa with tzarech davar hamuksa, or are you touching the muksa with tzarech for you? If you're touching it for you, then it's fine. If I'm going to lean on it on a car in order to tie my shoe, I have to make sure the car is not going to move. But if I'm going to touch a muksa, the case that he's talking about is if somebody's going up to the Aron Kodesh, and there's a menorah, a stationary menorah, that is on the side of the steps, and I'm going to hold onto that menorah in order to help me walk up the steps, but it's not going to move, and it's lit, and it's muksa machmas iser, or it's muksa machmas gufo, you're allowed to pick yourself up with it. You're allowed to use the muksa, even as long as you're not moving it. But, says the Trumas Hadeshen, what about that Yerushalmi? It must mean if you are touching the muksa letzorach the davar hamuksa, like the case of the covering the egg in order to protect it so it doesn't break, so that already is a problem. The Mishnah Berurah quotes this machlokes, but the Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention any limits. So the pashas is that we're making in either case, but I want us to make sure the practical issues of the Magen Mishnah are important, because lamaisa, if it might move, then you're not allowed to touch it anyway, because that's not just called touching it. That's called moving it. There's no shear for moving it. If I just move it a drop, that's also considered moving it. And therefore, one has to be careful about that. Okay, so that's why the bricks here, maybe the chash is that you're going to actually move them, or maybe when you sit on them, you're going to move them a little bit also. So therefore, that is the problem. Okay, we continue. Amar Reb Nachman, Amar Shmuel. Cheres Kitana, Mutal Taltal B'chatzer, Avo B'karmel Islo. Important Yisoh, we're going to have a three-way machlokas right here. If something is ra'ui, something has a purpose, but it does not have a purpose in the exact spot where it is. Does that make it muksa? Because I can't use it right here? Or do we say inherently it has a purpose, so therefore it's not muksa? If I have a little shard, mutal taltal b'chatzer, I'm allowed to be metaltal it in the chatzer, says Rav Nachman, because their kalim are shchiach, and I'm going to use this little shard to cover up a kli. There are a lot of little kalim in the chatzer, so therefore it has a purpose right here. But a karmelis in a semi-public area, there are no kalim there in the karmelis, so therefore, it's going to be muksa there, because it's not shchiach to have the kli, so its function it disappears in a karmelis, and therefore it's muksa, says Rav Nachman, in the name of Shmuel. For Rav Nachman, didei amar no, amar afilu b'karmelis. Rav Nachman himself says, no, even in a karmelis, it's going to be mutter. Aval b'rishas harabim, lo, rishas harabim, no, there's never any kalim in the street, so therefore, you're not allowed to, it's muksa there. For Rav, amar afilu b'rishas harabim. Because Rava says, right, what's his svara? Because you don't determine it by the practical functions that you have right here. Can it serve a function for you? If it can serve a function for you, so then that's it. It's not muksa. We're not talking about, the Gemara said elsewhere, are you mechalik between different people? That we might do. Chazila niim, chazila shirim. But here it's muta for me. I could use it, just not in the spot where I am right now. So then, the last day, Rava says, Afilu birushas harabim, it is mutter. Rashi says in the third wide line, Kivan de bechatzer klihu, since in a chatzer it is a kli, ba'almanami lo paka shem kli minei. Because it has the status of a kli, it can be used for something, so therefore it never loses that status, no matter where it is. Right? Because it's not pushed aside. The person is not maksa it biadayim, even if it is in this area.
Talking about
yantif
here, I mean, it's
hotzah, no? Say mutal taltal bichatzah, within a chatzah. We're talking about, I feel a birshas harabim. I think maybe without the alamas, right, maybe this is, I don't know if it's talking about yantif. Doesn't sound like Beferish is talking about yantif, but maybe it's, I mean, it says, the issue is the tiltal issue, right? So you have to say maybe it's like those days that even less than Dalaramas is mutter. You'd have to say that, or just to put it on the akli. Good. For continuing the Gemara, the Azda Rava L'Taimei, Rava goes l'shitasa. Rava havi ka'azal baristicha de mechuza. Rava was walking in the public areas of mechuza. Asvasoi misane tina. His shoes got full of mud. Asa shamei shokal chaspa. He asked the servant to come. The servant brought a shard. V'kam achaperle. He starts wiping it off. So it's wiping off the mud. So it's not hardened. The Shulchan Aruch talks about hardened dirt on my shoe. Hardened dirt on my shoe is better and worse. If it's going to come off easily, then I'm allowed to take it off. But if it's going to crumble, that might be an issue of tochein. If I'm going to try to take the dirt off my shoe that's already dry, I want us to be careful about it. But here, let's say it's still moist, and it's trying to get it off, trying to wipe it. Mechaperle, right? The word kapara means that I get atonement, how Hashem wipes away my sins, wipes away the stains. That's the kapara. That's the lash of kapara. Kapores. It's also, it covers, it separates the aron and the luchos inside, the kapores. So kamachaperle. Ramu be rabbanakala. The rabbanah started screaming, what are you doing? How could you use this? Isn't it muksa? How could you use this shard? Amri. So they say, lo mista amar. He says to them, Shmuel says to them, Rava says to them, Lo mistaya dol gemiri. Not only are you not learned yourself, and you don't know the halacha, migmar nami migmari. You're even trying to tell others this? It's not true. It's even worse. Ilu b'chatzar havoi. Milo havi chazi l'chasuye be'mana. If I was in a chatzar, wouldn't this be roi for me to cover a kli with? So therefore, it's not muksa. Hachanami chazi l'didi. And right now, he even has a purpose for it here, even though it's an unusual purpose. You might say it's not raw. Usually, people don't usually get mud on their shoes, but because it has a purpose, Rava says, l'shitaso, it is not muksa, and that is what we hold. We hold that no matter what, as long as it has a purpose, so then it doesn't matter where one is, it's going to be mutter. Good. Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, continuing, Megufas chavitz shenichteta mutter l'tatal b'shavis. What if somebody has a cover of a barrel, but the barrel broke? Barrel broke. We still have a cover. So is that muksa? Right, let's say somebody has a cover of a pot, and that pot size broke. That pot got a hole in it. So does the cover all of a sudden become useless? So the Gemara says no. Mutl tata b'shabbos. You have to be with tata on Shabbos. Tani nami hachi. Megufa shenichlitza hi nichlitza. What if the cover itself got broken? Hi yushvara mutl tata b'shabbos. Also, it's mutter, because again, you could use it on a smaller kli. But lo yispos bimena sheva lachasas ba'asa kli. But lusof bakari amita, but you cannot repair it on Shabbos. You can't try to smooth out the edges if it's sharp, because that would be a problem of fixing, and therefore what malacha would you violate? Rashi says on the bottom line, vahave make bapatish. Rashi lishitaso. Put this with the 10 other Rashis in this Masechta. Rashi holds, if you remember from the 7th parak, ein binyan bekalim totally. There's never a binyan bekalim. Even if you're fixing something that is useless right now, and I'm going to fix it into a kli. The Tobali Tosfos Adaf Kuf Beis and the Ramban Adaf Kuf Beis all argued and said, no, if you make a kli useful, so then there is binyan bekalim. And the Ramban's lashon was, ein lucha asiyas kli yoser mizeh. That's called Asiyas Kli. That's Binyan Bikalim, where you're putting items together. But Rashi rejected that on Daf Ayin Dalid, right? In the case of the barrel and the oven, where all those chatos that you're chayev, Rashi says, no Binyan, even when you make the whole Kli. So that's why throughout this Masechta, whenever we have an issue of Tikkun, Rashi will say Makab Epatish. Rashi will not say bonus. So Rashi says it again here on the bottom line. Continuing, V'im Zarka Ba'ashba Aser. Second to last line, but if somebody threw these shards into the ashpa, then it becomes aser, because then you're showing that you're megaladas, that you have no reason, and you're not going to keep them. So maskev la Rav Papa, 1 minute. Elameata, zorek le leglime hakanami de aser. Rav Papa says, 1 minute, if I throw a shirt into the garbage, it's automatically aser. Just because this has a use for me. I could use this to pick up my bed. I could use this for something. But once it's in the garbage, then no more. What, everything you throw in the garbage loses its function? Ask the Gemara. So Elamar of Papa, no. Im zarka mi ba'od yom la'ashpa asura. If you threw it before Shabbos, so then when Shabbos starts, it already was not muchan, and that's why it is asur. The Ritva says, again, the Ritva here is every line, the Shakla Vatarya. Ritva says, what's the Havamina here? Kashali, we're comparing a shard to a beged, to a shirt? Kashali, maika medami le glima shehu davar chashuv. How can we compare a half-broken shard, which is kind of, a little bit functional to a shirt, which inherently has a function. And just because I throw it out, baladaito, it's a kaladim, doesn't lose its status as a kli. Just because the person decides to throw it out, you know, it still is called a kli. So therefore, how could you compare the ode or the mashal madav adoma, the mashal from Tvilas Kalim? Tvilas Kalim, we know generally glass has to be tovelt. Glass has to be tovelt. Right, midrabanan, right? Make a bracha on it, and so it has to be tovelt. So let's say, if we have a glass bottle of soda, of Snapple, something, and we throw it out. So, we throw it out only because we live in an affluent society. We don't keep it. That's a very good bottle. It's a very good glass bottle. If somebody keeps that bottle, many poskim say you have to tovel it then. The first time. So then, maybe it was just used as packaging. Right, you didn't buy when you spent two shekel halavai, right? Whatever it is for a soda, you pay some of it for the bottle and some of it for the soda. No, it's all for the soda. They throw in the bottle. So therefore, once I decide to keep it, so then I have to tovel it according to many posts if I'm going to keep the glass. Yes, there's a chiddush of Moshe Feinstein we mentioned in the past, where Moshe says, well, the bottle is just packaging. So the second that I decide to keep it, that's called asiya biyad Yisrael. That's called making the bottle by a Jew, and therefore it doesn't need tefillah. That's a tremendous chiddush that Rav Moshe has, that it doesn't have a separate status as a bottle until a person decides to keep it. So the mela does not need tefillah. But we at least, lechatchila, would paskin that if I keep the bottle to use, to refill, if I'm going to fill it with water again, you know, one should tovel it before they reuse it. But why? Because it's a good item. It's not like a garbage, let's say a tinfoil pan. Every time you use it, so it gets worse and worse. That's why many folks can say, you don't have to tovel it, even if I'm going to use it again. Because it's worse and worse. But by a glass bottle, nothing happens to it. You can use it 100 times. So, therefore, ask the Ritva, how can we compare a shard to a piece of clothing, which is a davar chashuv? Ba'la daiti, it's a kaladam. The ode, deka amar, ela amar rava. The fact that the next line says, rava says, ela amar rava, imzarkim ibod yom la'ashba asura, if you throw it on Friday, it's asur. Havadai, zarak, glimaso, la'ashba ibod yom, lebatlet ma'amishu mutal taltala. In the havamina, I'm bothered, and in the maskana, I'm bothered, says the Ritva. What was the havamina to compare them? And even in the maskana, what's the answer? Oh, we're talking about before Shabbos. What's the before Shabbos? We would be able to compare the shard and glima. If I threw a shirt into the garbage before Shabbos, that's now muksa. If I decide on Shabbos to take it out of the garbage, I can't put the shirt on. Right? Somebody thought that, they didn't need this shirt. That's not true. Of course you can. So says the Ritva, Venira Li, you have to say the comparison is not so serious. Venira Li, Dehacha L'Ravcha D'Milsanakat. Doesn't really mean the comparison. It just means, Dekal Shehuchna Bebein Hashmashos Agav Ima Sula Mahani Le'Zrika L'Hotziya Mitoras Kli. All the Gemara is comparing it in the sense that what something is muchan, from when Shabbos starts, you're throwing it out, cannot remove its status. Kihechi de barira milsa lekuliyama lomahani yizrika laashba laolam lavat lemitaras kli. Just like if you have a real kli, everybody agrees you cannot uproot its status just by throwing it out. So too, when something is muchan from when Shabbos starts, you can't remove its status by throwing it out. So again, you have to be a little more flexible in the comparison, both in the Havamina and in the Maskana. That is the Ritva's Ha'ara. Okay, we continue. Amar Bar Hamduri Amar Shmuel. So all these cases in the name of Shmuel. Remember, Shmuel never got smicha. Right? The Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, he was a Rebbe of the Rav and Shmuel. He tried to give him smicha. He got to give smicha to Rav. He never got to give smicha to Shmuel. And the Gemara says Bamitziah that he had he realized afterwards, someone told him that it said in the Toldos Adam Arishon, in the Sefer Toldos Adam Arishon, that it said that it was Siyata Deshmai. He wasn't supposed to get smicha, and he realized that it was supposed to happen. Either way, Shmuel never got smicha. So, the Gemara says, Krum Yoshel Machzelas, Mutal Tatalim B'Shabbos. If somebody has shreds of a mat, Rashi says, Shenifredu Menam Machzelas Yishana. He had a big mat, and he had some shreds that came out. Mutal Tatalim B'Shabbos, that's not Muksa. My Taima, Amarava, Barham Duri, Azvroli, Machzelas Gufal Maichazia. Well, what is a mat good for in itself? L'chasuya Be'afra. You put it on the dirt, so you don't have to sit on the floor. So you sit on the mat. So Haninami, Chazia L'chasuya Be'utin Ofes. These two. If you have a little shred, so it doesn't literally mean strings, it means little pieces that came off, that also is good to cover the dirt, cover a spot that you don't want to be uncovered, and therefore it serves the same purpose. Amar Abzeira Amarav, similarly, Shiare Prusmios. These types of shreds of prusmios. Prusmios, Rashi points out, are talisos. What we would call a talis, like it says elsewhere. If somebody has a small piece of a talis, it's also a talitel. Why? Amar Abaya, what's the difference in this case and the previous case? Amar Abaya, b'matloni yel she'in b'han gimel al gimel. We're talking about very small swatches. Delo chazgin lo la'aniyim lo la'ashirim. Very small pieces, which are not right for anybody. That's the difference of the case. Nothing fundamentally different between the two cases, but here we're talking about very small swatches, and that's why it would be a problem. If you look in the Ravid quoted here by the Chachmei Sfarad, the Ravid, I'll read it again from the Ritva, I just have that open, says the Ravid, V'yesh makshim, taha chazuye l'chasuye beitinofa. Even if it's very small, why is it different than the first case? But that's the difference between the two cases. The first case is bigger pieces, and the second case is small pieces. It doesn't sound that way exactly from the Gemara. It sounds like the second case is less useful for some reason. What's the difference? So the Ravid has an important yesod. The Hacha, what are we talking about? We're talking about Talios Shel Mitzvah. We're talking about people's Talasim, as we would call them in Hebrewish, however you would call the word Talasim. So, Kedamrin and Hasam, Tchelto, like the Gemara says in Sukkah. We're talking about a shard, a swatch of a talus that got ripped off. Somebody's talus got ripped. The kivan dechein, and that type of swatch, you're not going to use to cover up a piece of dirt. That's the difference. Diavagav deshiyari mitzvah nizrakin, even though we know from the Bryson, Maseches Megillah, and Daf Chavav, the difference between tashmishe mitzvah and tashmishe kedusha. Tashmishe kedusha is required to be buried. Mezuzahs, tefillin, anything connected to a mezuzah and tefillin, and the bags, all that has to be buried. Mashenkein tzitzis and shofar and lulav. All, and sukkah, all can be nizrakin, me'ikar adin. But even so, says the Ritvab, in the name of the Ravid, they wouldn't use this to cover up tinofes. It used to be a talus. You're going to treat it with a certain level of kavod. Lav urcha demilso l'chasuyeh be'tinofia. That's the chiddush of the Ravid. And that is why the Ravid would say, we're talking about pieces of a talus. Nobody's going to use a piece of a talus to cover up their dirt. And therefore, that's why it is muksa. So it's interesting, you use the same item, but if people wouldn't use it because it used to be l'dvar mitzvah, so then it would retain its status of muksa. It's a beautiful chiddush of Shechter has in Eret HaTzvi relating to this discussion of Teshmishe Mitzvah, Teshmishe Kedusha. I think it's come up at some point in the past, a long time ago, in Siman Yud Beis, where he discusses, we know there is a mitzvah of Kavura, Kavuras Yehudi. Mitzvah, right, based on the Losol and Nivlaso, based on the Pasuk in Parshat Kiseitzei. What's the root of that mitzvah? The root of Kvuras Yehudi. So he suggests, I'm not sure how much of this is Rav Shechter, and how much is Rav Salvechik, but assuming I think this is Rav Shechter, because afterwards he quotes Rav Salvechik. He says, why is there a mitzvah of Kvuras Yisraelim? And by Umos HaOlam, there might be Darkei Shalom and Eva issues, but not Me'ikar Hadin. So he suggests maybe it's totally on this issue. Tashmishe Mitzvah and Tashmishe Kedusha. A Jew, what's the difference between Tashmishe Mitzvah and Tashmishe Kedusha? What's the difference between Tefillin and Mezuzah and the bag of Tefillin and the Mezuzah case v'chulu versus Tzitzis and Talis and Shofar and Sukkah? The connection to Torah. Anything that's connected to Torah, that has inherent Kedusha, Tashmishe Kedusha, and must be buried. So even the tefillin box is connected to the cloth inside. The mezuzah case, the bima cover might be. The atzei chayim, right? It depends how many steps removed. But anything connected to the ksav of Torah is what we call shemis, what we call geniza, and must be buried. That's tashmishe kedusha. Tashmishe mitzvah, that's connected to a mitzvah b'shaito, but afterwards it doesn't have any status anymore. Suggests Rav Shechter here, maybe that's the difference between Jews and Umos HaOlam, a Jew's connection to Torah. And that affects and defines the Jew forever. And therefore, even after a Jew's time is passed, after 120, there's a Chi of Kvura. It's a Chi of Kvura, Tashmishe, because the Jew is Tashmishe Kedusha. And therefore, just like I say, for Torah has to be buried, we have to be buried. Masha Enkein, Umos HaOlam, they have Shevet Mitzvot B'nei Noach. Tashmishe Mitzvah. Covid as there, right, that there's a Tzelem Elokim and V'chulu, but afterwards there's no Chiyuv of Kfura, because they didn't have that connection to Kedusha. And last, he continues, unless one says, what if a Jew never opened up a chumash in his life? What if there is a Jew that's totally assimilated, Rachmana Litzlan, he has no connection to anything? So the answer is no. That's the Gemara in the Delamed Aleph, that every Jew learns Kalatara Kula in utero, and then forgets it. And then forgets it, because the Malach makes him forget it. So he has to cause, he has to forget it, because he has to earn it. But why is he taught it in the first place? The question of all the Achronim. The answer given is that from Rav Salvechik and from Rav Aviner, from other Achronim, that we need that inherent connection, that pintel yid. Every Jew has that connection inside the Torah, even though it's not manifest on the outside. Even if it never becomes manifest, every Jew inherently has that connection, and that's what defines him as Tashmishei Kedusha, and that's why there's a Chiyuv Kfura for any Jew. That's the amazing thought of over here in Eretz Tzvi and Siman Yud Beis. And then he talks about a shul, the root of the shul, the kedusha of a shul is a sefer Torah, the chula. By the way, that's the Ritva right here. The Ritva in the name of the Ravid, that these prusmios are different than the previous case of the shards that came out from the krumia shamachzelas, because here we're talking about tashmishe kedusha. Good. One other ha'ara, and then we'll get into the next piece, and that is buttons. What if a button falls off? What if a button falls off your jacket, your shirt? Are you allowed to? Is that muksa? It falls off, boom, you can't touch it. So, do I have plans to put it back on? Or is it just an extra one that I'm going to forget forever? So the Shmir Shabbos assumes that if you're going to put it back on, it might not be muksa. Might not be muksa if you're going to put it back on. Says the Shmir Shabbos in Tesvav Ayin Beis, in the new volume. You can't take off one or put it back on. That might be a problem of tefira. But the ein bo misha muksa. It's not a problem. The question is, if I'm going to use something after Shabbos, I just can't use it now. Does it have the status of muksa? So he says, it should be mutter, but tov lahachmir, meaning lahachmir, maybe just to kick it to the side. But says the in the footnotes, he says that's the issue here. V'lachein ha-kaftor nigro achrei ha-begin ha-mutul ha-talatulo. V'yomar gonav shalom ha-salmin, shem ha-kaftor shen nashar min ha-begin hu-pashutu matsui. If it's a type of button that's very common, it's let's say from a shirt and it's a little bit that people aren't makbid about, dafka to put this button back, so then it should be makbid not to pick it up. If it's a fancy button, meaning it's a special button for this suit, I need to get this suit, and then it's not muksa because he dafka wanted. If the beged also, a piece of the beged ripped off with the button, mistaver, then the whole ve'ena kaftar omelios muksa limkomo, nasa kaftar muksa, he talks about it. Either way, that's the issues of buttons. If one can kick it to the side and put it away, then it's fine. If it's in a place where there are little children and a child might eat it, chas v'shalom, then for sure pick it up. Then it's a sakana. Buttons and marbles and any of these types of issues if one has a toddler in the house. Good. Tana Rabban and Vayter. So, says the Tosefta in Kalim. Okay, this we have to focus on. Says the Tosefta. Shivrei tanur yashan harehin kachala kalim anitalin b'chatzir. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, if you have a broken shards of an old oven, old means it was used already. If you have broken shards, then it's okay. It's like old kalim that can be moved in a chatzer. Right, let's say you didn't make an erev chatzeris, you can move it within the chatzer. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, enital, they can't. Machlokas tanam, they cannot be moved. So what is the machlokas about? Hey, Rabbi Yosi Mishum, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, before we get there, al shivrei tanur yashan shenitalim b'shabbos, val kisu yoshi notzorach beis yad. So Elazar ben Yaakov adds that it can be moved, meaning like Rabbi Meir, but he adds that the cover doesn't need a handle. Okay, we'll get back to that later. But by my commitment, let's focus on the first part. Machlokas of Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, and what's the machlokas? You have shards of an old oven. Rabbi Meir says they can be moved. Rabbi Yehuda says they cannot be moved. So what is the machlokas about? So Abaya is number one. Amar Abaya ba'osin me'ein malacha, vein osin me'ein malacha kamiflagi. We're talking about our machlokas and our Mishnah. The shard could be used, but for a different purpose than the oven was used for. The azar, Rabbi Yehuda l'tameh, Rabbi Meir l'tameh. That's the machlokas we had in our Mishnah on yesterday's daf. Rabbi Yehuda says you need me'ein malachtan. You need the same usage. And Rabbi Meir says no me'ein malacha. Maskefla Rava. Rabbi said that's what they're arguing about in the Tosefta. Ihachi ademiflagi b'shivrei tanur liflagu b'shivrei kelim ba'alma. But if it's true that that's what they're arguing about, so what do they have to argue about the old shards of an oven? That's a machlokas about every kli. So what are you focusing on oven for? So Ella Amar Rava, Rava says it must be a specific machlokas about a specific type of oven. as follows. Bishivrei dahai taner kamiflagi. They're arguing about this taner, the tanan. The Mishnah says in Kalim, not no piya bar or piya dus. Usually, ovens were on the ground. You put on the ground, and I lit a fire on the ground underneath the oven. The oven in those days, let's say, was like an upside-down barrel type of kli, made out of cheres, made out of all different types of material. If I put it on the ground, and I light a fire on the bottom. What if I didn't? What if I wanted to have more space underneath? So I put the oven, let's say this upside-down barrel, on top of a hole in the ground, on top of a pit. But the oven, I didn't want it to fall through. The oven, this barrel was skinnier than the hole of the pit. So what I did was I stuck a rock into the side of the oven in order to help suspend the oven at the edge of the pit. So I'm going to light the fire. Somehow I'm going to be able to get down and light the fire on the bottom of the pit. And it's going to go up into the oven, which is being suspended with a rock on the side. So the question is that oven mekabel tuma? What's the issue? The issue is that we're going to see in a minute that the pasuk says, once an oven becomes tameh, you have to destroy it, if it's cheres. Netitsa. That verb, Rashi explains, is used when an oven is attached to the ground. Shavira would be used to break a kli. Netitsa is used to break something that is mechubar. So, Rabbi Yehuda is going to learn that it has to be mechubar to the ground in order for it to be able to be mekabel tuma as an oven, and then you destroy it. So is this called attached to the ground? Right, you have this rock stuck in there. If it's on the ground, that's on the ground. That's an oven. But what here, it's like kind of in midair. And you have this rock stuck on the side to support it. So that's the machlokes. Here we go. Nasna opiya bor opiya dus. Vinasam sham evan. You put a rock on the side to suspend it. Rebbe Yehuda Omer. Well, it depends. Im masig milamata. Vunisa milamala. Tame. If you could light a fire in the bottom of that pit, and it's very hot, and it goes straight into the oven, and everything works fine, tameh. And then it's fine, because that's like on the ground. V'im lav. But if you're not going to be able to light a fire in the bottom of the pit, it's too far away, you're going to have to somehow create a ledge under this barrel to light the fire closer, so then this is not called connected to the ground, tahar. So then it's not makabel tuma. That's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. V'chachamim omrim? No. No, what do you mean? If it gets heated by the fire, even if it's not as good as if it would be on the ground itself, it's still makabel tuma. Again, what's this machlokas about? Bahaikra, the following pasuk, as we just mentioned. Tanur v'kirayim yutats tmeim heim v'tmeim yulachem. The oven and the kira, two types of ovens. Yutat, they will be destroyed. Right, destroyed yutat, though, as Rashi said, on the second to last skinny line, you can see where Rashi says it, v'chi eino karov la'aretz, ein lecha taner natu, I'm sorry, that's the, Rashi on the first wide line, I'm sorry. D'netitza lo shaycha ela bebinyin, mechubar, ukshein mechubar, shvira shaycha bay. That's what Rashi says in the first wide line. Anyway, back to the pasuk. So, Rabbi Yehuda savar mechutzer netitza tame. If it is lacking netitza, meaning it would have to be broken from being connected to the ground, that's makabel tuma, tame. Shein mechutzer netitza tar. But if it's separate, then it is tar, as an oven. Rabbanan savri tameim yulachem ikomakom. That pasuk includes. So that's the machlokas of Yehuda and the Chachamim. For what does each one do with the other one's pasuk? Just finishing up this section. For Rabbanan nami haksiv yutatz. The Rabbanan say it has to be connected to the ground too, right? Why is it if it's suspended here in midair? What do they do with the word yutatz? Ha'ula itap gisa. No, that's to teach me from the other direction. The saka da'i dechamina, I might have said, kivan dechabre ba'ara kagufa da'ara dami. No, the extra pasuk is to teach me that I might say when it's on the ground that it's kol mechubar lakarka, it's like karka and it's not makabel tuma at all. Like the ground is not makabel tuma. I might have gone in the other direction. Kamash v'la, no. The chiddush by ovens is the opposite than we usually think. If it's attached to the ground, then it's more makabel tuma. V'idach, what about Rabbi Yehuda? V'idach nami aksiv tmeim yulachem. What does he include in that pasuk? Hahi ked Rabbi Yehuda mar Shmuel. He includes the following. Dam Rabbi Yehuda mar Shmuel, machlokes behesek rishon. Rav Shmuel says that the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana, and the Chachamim, the machlokes is only by the first heating of this oven. This oven was never heated yet, and now it's going to be heated. Avo behesek sheni, but once it's an oven, once it was heated once, and now you're at least on the second time, afilu toli b'tzavar gamal, even if it's hanging on the neck of a camel, It's already had its status of makabel tuma. Once it was heated once. Talmach lokes in our Mishnah and Tosefta is where this is the first heating. Amar Ula, last line, the hesek rishon l'rabbanan afilu tolei b'savar gamal. But the rabbanan hold, even if it's in the middle of midair, it would be makabel tuma because that's their inclusion from the pasuk. Period. What did we just say so far? What did Rava say on the past 10 lines? This is the machlokes in the previous case, right? We started off with the Tosefta. The Tosefta says, if you have broken shards of an old oven, machlokes are Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether it is muksa or not. So Rava is suggesting that machlokes has nothing to do with breaking on Shabbos, like our case. No, it has to do with breaking. This is the type of oven that we're talking about. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it wasn't makabel tuma in the first place, so its shards aren't going to be makabel tuma. According to the Chachamim, it is makabel tuma, so its shards are going to be makabel tuma, and they will have the status of a kli, and you'd be able to move them. Fine. So Maskav l'Ravashi. Ravashi says, 1 minute. Ihachi. If that's the root of the machlokas, ademiflagi b'shivrei taner, liflagu b'taner gufa. I don't understand. If the machlokas is about whether this type of oven is tameh, so why are you arguing about an application? Are its broken pieces makabel tuma? They should argue about the taner itself. Hashta taner gufei, l'Reb Yehuda lo havimana, shvarev bibayi. If Reb Yehuda holds that the oven itself is not makabel tuma, meaning it's not called a kli, so of course its broken pieces do not have the status of a kli and are not allowed to be moved on Shabbos. So Ravashi says, I don't think that could be the machlokas. So far we had Abaya, which was on the third to last skinny line. We had Rava, second wide line, and now we have the third and final, which really goes back to the first. Ella Amar Ravashi, La'olam Kedamar Meikara. Go back to the first case. We're talking about, what's the first suggestion? The machlokas is like we had in our Mishnah, that it serves a function, but it doesn't serve its previous function. Right, the oven broke. But now, it can't do exactly what it used to do. Uba osa maisa tafka. And the machlokes is maisa tafka. What does that mean? Rashi explains, what does an oven do? An oven cooks and bakes. So this piece you could also cook and bake on, but not in the same way. In oven, you use the inside of the oven to bake, and here you'd be able to use it as an outside, right? I mean, out open to the elements. So you can still cook something in this shard, but not in the same way as the original. So does that... is that a switch? So, v'Rabbi Meir l'dvarav d'Rabbi Yehuda ka'amar. And Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah is only talking l'dvarav d'Rabbi Yehuda. Meaning, according to Rabbi Meir himself, you don't need anything connected. L'didi, says Rabbi Meir, afilu ba'osin me'ein malacha. Rabbi Meir says, as long as it serves any function, it's not muksa. That's what Rabbi Meir holds. Ela l'didcha. But according to you, Rabbi Yehuda, odili miha, at least admit to me, Tikahai gavna milachtahu is you could use this for cooking and baking. So admit to me that it's not muksa. Even according to you, it's me'ein malachtan, isn't it? Rabbi Yehuda lo dami. Rabbi Yehuda says no. You cannot compare the baking and the cooking that was originally to now. Hasam has taken me bifnim. Hacha has taken me bachutz. Beforehand it was heated from the inside, and here it's heated from the outside. Hasam umad, achalam umad. There it was a standing wall for the oven. Here it's broken, it's flat, it's cooking in a different way. So, as we started off, this Tosefta does have to do with our Mishnah that we have here in Kuf Chaf Dalet on yesterday's daf. But it is a detail related. If it serves the same function but in a different way, is that good enough for Rabbi Yehuda? This Tosefta adds, no, it is not. It's got to be the exact same function in the exact same way. Good. Continuing. Had Rabbi Yossi Mishim Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov al Shevet Tano Yasha Shetolam B'Shabbos al Kisui Yishin Esarach Beis Yad. They write the last line of the Tosefta we quoted, that it does not need a handle, the cover. Amar Avina, Kemal Metaltalina and Ha'idna Kisuye de Tanure de Masamaxia, de Elohe Beis Achiza, who, we handle the covers without handles. Come on. Rabbi ben Yaakov is going like this shita that says, once it is a cover, and it's useful as a cover, even without a handle, it would not be muksa. Period. We continue. Says the next Mishnah. As we head towards the end of Kalakalim. Says the next Mishnah, Ha'even Shebikiruya, a stone that is in the peel of a gourd. Let's say somebody asks, for our purposes, we can think about, let's say a watermelon. Let's say you cut out the inside of a watermelon. So now, that's a good bowl. You could use that as a bowl. Or a gourd, some type of melon with a hard peel. And you're going to use that as a pail in order to put down into a well to get water. but it is somewhat light. You want to create it, make it a little heavier so that it won't float when it gets down into the water. So you put a rock inside of it. So now, is that a nice, beautiful kli, or do we say it's muksa? And we say it's a bussis even. And the watermelon peel becomes a bussis to the rock. So it depends. However, shebekruya, im malin ba ve'inu nafeles, if you could fill it up with water and the rock does not fall out, malin ba, then it's fine. You've created a kli, and there's no problem. V'im lav ein malin ba. But if not, you cannot. Rashi says on the bottom line, the shavye bussis le'even shonosata. You put the rock in there, you've created a bussis, if it's going to fall out. If it's attached, then you've created a nice new kli. But if it's going to fall out and it's loose, so then it is a problem. Just before we turn over, the Chashuk Echemen here discusses a big discussion in the Halacha Lamaisa in terms of rocks. How can you make rocks muchan? Rock is muksamach plus gufo. How do you make a rock muchan? So it depends. The post can discuss. Are you making a rock muchan forever? Or are you making a rock muchan just for the Shabbos? So if it's just for the Shabbos, you're going to have to do more. You're going to have to shave it a little bit. You're going to have to do a maisa, not just machshava. If you're going to use it forever, so then maybe, you know, you can have more kulas of just machshava or bringing it in, the kula. Big discussion. The Chashuk Echemet quotes Midrashim that the rocks on Har Sinai were special rocks. This week's Parsha, Yisro Mishpatim. So there were special rocks. He quotes from the Pirish on the Mor Nevuchim, the Narvoni, that on every rock were pictures of a sneh. And every time you broke any of those rocks, it also looked like a sneh. It was magical rocks. Every time you break them, sneh, 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 sneh. And this Pirish Narvoni on the Mor Nevuchim, I don't know who it is, he quotes that somebody once brought him a rock from Har Sinai, and he kept breaking it and breaking it and breaking it, and it was unbelievable. Unbelievable, he kept seeing it. So, says Rav Zilberstein, are those rocks books on Shabbos? Are those rocks books on Shabbos? Hayim Evan Kazume Har Sinai, are you allowed to move them on Shabbos? Because after all, this rock has an inherent purpose to prove the Niflos Abore, to prove the Galus of Hashem. So he assumes it's not Muksa. Mishum Shi Muzumenes, Umuyuchedis, Liros, but Niflos Hashem, the Evan Zuhi Muyuchedis, La Olam, Kadila Haros, La Cholba, Eolam, Es Niflos, Hashem Yisbar, Alide Tsmunos, Marhivos, Ayin. The other minashura lo yishtamish pala dvar macherim. Nobody would use it for something else. Maybe it's chesron kiss. I don't know. Maybe it's chesron kiss. Either way, so he discusses that. Good. That's the agadah for the day. Says the Gemara. Zemora shikshur betafiach. Similar case. Somebody has a vine that he ties a pail to in order to use as the rope to lower down into the well. So mamalan baba Shabbos. So you got to fill with that up on Shabbos because you have made that into a kli. A pekaka chalon. If somebody has a shutter, we would call it, some type of covering for the window that you would put in, are you allowed to put that in on Shabbos? Or is that like bonet? There's a hole in your wall, and you're covering it up. So if I would put a piece of plywood in there, that would be the malacha bonet. So what happens if I have something that's supposed to be in there? So if it's like, well, our shutters, that's mutter. But why is that mutter? Because it's attached, and it's not dragging on the floor. It's up in the window. So it's obviously, that's like a door. It's meant to be open to close, open to close. So that's what the discussion is here. Rebbe Lazar, Omer Bizvan, Shehu, Kashur, Vitaloi, when it is tied on, and it is hanging, and it's not dragging, poking and bow, then you're allowed to use it to close. V'im lavin poking and bow. And if not, you can't. V'cham omer, bekach, v'vekach, poking and bow. No, in either case. The Gemara will talk about what does it mean in either case, but that'll be on tomorrow's daf. Tanan Hasan, but first we have to do the first part of the Mishnah. So first we quote a Mishnah from later on, from Perek Chavis. Ha'evin shall be a Chavis. If I have a barrel of wine and I put a rock on top of the barrel of wine to cover it, mata al tidavino fellas, you're allowed to, if you want to get the wine out on Shabbos, you could lean the barrel of wine over and the rock would fall off, and then you could take the barrel of wine. That is what the Mishnah says later on. So we have a machlokes. Rabba, in the name of Rav Abi, in the name of Rav Yochanan, and Rav Yosef, in the name of Rav Asi, in the name of Rav Yochanan. Amar Abba, Amar Abi, Amar Rav Yochanan, lo shana lo b'shocheach. When can you do this? Only if you forgot the rock on there. You didn't mean to put it on there. You forgot it on there. Avo b'mei niach naaseh basis l'davar ha'asur. But if you wanted the rock to be on there, then you have created basis. We'll get back to that. For Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, the opposite. You only have to do the leaning and not touch it directly. That's only if you forgot it there. But if you put it there, then you obviously want to use it as a cover. So then, so then obviously it was made as a kisi to a chavis. Period. Let's talk about... let's just do a little bit more and then we'll talk. Amar Rabba, Mosfina Nashmaitzim. Each line of the Mishnah sounds like a different shita. Rabba said, I'm going to ask her myself from the first part of the Mishnah. Ha'evet shebekruya imamalinba ve'inonofelas bemalinba. If it stays in there, then you're allowed to fill it up. What do you mean? Why isn't that a basis? Says Rabba, according to me. Veloi, the difference is, hasam kiva dahat ke shavya dofen. There, because it's tightly fitting, you've made it a wall of a kli, and therefore it's good, unlike the rock here, which is loose. Amar Rav Yosef, who most vina nashmaitzen. Rav Yosef says, I'm going to ask a gosh on me from the second line. Vim lav eim amalan bap. If it's loose, you can't use it. Why not? I allow a rock on top of a barrel. So veloi, hasam kiva dalohatka bituli batzle. No, there's a reyesa. Because you should have tightened it, and you didn't, so that's megala that you don't really want it as a kli, and that's why it's a problem. Mashen came here, you want it loose. That's how covers are. B'maikamifli, what's the root machlokas here? Mar savar b'inon maisa. One person holds you need an maisa in order to remove the status of rock of muksa machmas gufo. Umar savar lo b'inon maisa. The other one holds that you don't need a maisa. Period. Stop there for a minute. Rav Asher Weiss, in the Minchas Asher on Shabbos, here has an important discussion. You can look on page Kuf Samaches. This rock that's on top of a barrel. Let's say, according to the second opinion, that you've created it into a cover. Could you now use this rock for anything you want? Now it's a cover. What if I want to use the rock for something else then? Am I allowed to do that? Pashtus, no. He quotes from some Rishonim here. You could use it as the cover. It's still semi-muksa, but you could just use it as your designated purpose. He quotes five or six examples where you have something that is kind of muksa b'miksas, where you've designated it for a purpose, and you can use it for that purpose, but you can't use it for anything else. Usually we're familiar with muksa, what's not muksa, you can use it for whatever you want. But this is an example, he quotes five or six others, that you could use it for a specific function, but not for more than that. And I write quotes from Beitza, a couple of examples. The case we had before, actually, a couple of days ago. A piece of wood. Remember we had a piece of wood you could use for firewood on Yontif. But you can't use it to support a door, to support a pot. Why not? Because we said, Gzeira. But he said, but you're allowed to use it for A and not for B? That's an example of muksa b'miksas. Sometimes, if something is a kli, then you can use it for anything you want. But something that inherently is not a kli, it's muksa b'machmas gufo. But you've designated it for a purpose, so that could remove, maybe it's still muksa, but with a heter. So he quotes, again, here in the end of Simen Nun, in the Minchas Asher on Shabbos, he has five or six examples of this idea, this being one of them. That the rock on top of the barrel does remain somewhat muksa, but it is allowed at least to be used as a cover, because that's what you have designated it as. The other issue discussed here in the Achronim is, it's a busis. But didn't we discuss buses once or twice already in this Masechta? Buses, you don't only look at what's on top and what's on bottom. You look at what's servicing what. Rashi, back in the fourth paragraph, you remember, said, remember we had the pot surrounded by the wool and in Hatmana, and you want to take the pot out, and you have wool on top. So as long as you can reach for the handle, you can take it out. But what do you mean there's wool on top of the pot? The answer is, Rashi says there, in the fourth paragraph, that no, but the wool is servicing the pot. So the pot can't become a buses to the wool on top of it. So here too, the rock is servicing the barrel. So what's the whole discussion of buses? So suggests, Rabbi Kiva Eger here, suggests that's why if you look at Rashi closely on our Gemara, he doesn't just say you're talking about leaning over the barrel. He's talking about lifting up the barrel, moving it out from amongst the barrels, and then leaning it. So there you're actually moving everything. That's why Rashi says it. Because you're not just leaning it over because it's really not a busis, but moving the whole thing and moving it out, that's why Rashi here says you're talking about your magbia the barrel and then moving it over. That's an important ha'arib. Kiv Eger has right here in his Chidushim explaining why Rashi says that. Maybe one more minute. The Azalot Tamayu and Rev Ami and Rev Asi here go according to their reasoning. One time Rebbe came somewhere on a Friday afternoon. He saw a pile of stones and he wanted to give shear there the next day. The first version is that he told them, go and think about that we're going to sit on them tomorrow. And it didn't make them do anything. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Hitzrichan Rabbi Lamaisa. No, he made them do something on Friday. What did he make them do? Amar Lahu, Rabbi, my Amar Lahu, what did he tell them? Rabbi Ami Amar Tzuba Lamda Marmalahu. He told them to position them. Because according to Rabbi Ami, you need a Maisa. And therefore you had to do everything now, so tomorrow you're not going to have to do anything. Because he needs, you need a Maisa. You're not going to do a Maisa tomorrow. So that's why he needed to position them before Shabbos. Rabbi Asi Amar Tzuba Shif Shifu Marmalahu. Just wipe them down, says Rabbi Asi. Because Rabbi Asi, that's the second day up top, says you can, you don't need a Maisa. So just wipe them down today, and then tomorrow you'll position them to wherever you want. That's the Lushitaso, Rav Asi and Rabbi Ami, to what they said up above, what type of Maisa one needs. Okay, I guess we'll start with Itmar tomorrow, and then we'll talk more about buses, and we'll get into other issues that come up in this last tomorrow's daf, the last daf of the 17th parak of Maseches Shabbos. Okay, the daf being here hopefully should be up, relating to Inyanei Muksa.